May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, for those of you who were in service, perhaps those who have listened the service of last Sunday by CD, you would have realized that we began a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. Earlier on in the service, during the baptism of Tyler, we recited that creed. And if you grew up in church or you know something about church, you know that it's been something that some churches say every Sunday, some people say it during communion, and some say it at different times. This creed is a statement of our faith, as we mentioned last Sunday. It helps to outline what it is that we believe about God. The first word of the creed in Latin is credo, which means I believe. And so when we start the Apostles' Creed by saying I believe, it is important not to rush over it. It is important not just to say it like the normal ritual things you have to say. It is important to pay attention to the things we are affirming, to the things we are saying we believe or I believe. Believing in God, as we said last Sunday, means to trust Him completely with everything that is in us. And I always use it to illustrate trust. When we entered into service today, those of you who have not been to St. John's in a long while, or you've never been to St. John's before, you didn't test the pews before sitting on them. You just walked in and you sat. Why? You sat because you believe the pews will carry you. Is that not true? You sat because you believe the pews will be strong enough. You never did this to test the pews. You didn't ask anybody, please, will the pews be able to carry me? You just sat on it because you believe the pews will carry you. That is the same way we need to trust in God, trusting Him completely that He's trustworthy, He's able to keep that, as Paul says, which is committed unto Him. What does it really mean for human beings to address the Almighty God as Father? When the Bible calls God Father, it is describing relationship. It is beyond the discourse of gender. It is saying that God is personal as opposed to impersonal, that God is not detached, God is not it. By calling God Father, we are describing the profoundly personal relationship between an eternal God and us. And in the New Testament, God is described as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here again, it is defined by relationship, the relationship that God has with Jesus. And frequently throughout the gospel account, when speaking of God, Jesus uses the Aramaic word, Abba. And Abba means daddy, dad. It's a term used by a child that understands their parents to be loving and protecting. Our reading from the book Exodus presents the story of Moses and the burning bush. And it's a popular story. Here we are reminded that God calls us. The God who calls us, and if God is to call us, God knows our names. And with Moses, God does. Moses, God calls from the scene of a bush that is burning, but that was not consumed. God calls us by name. He knows you by name. He knows me by name. He calls you to serve Him. He calls us to be in fellowship with Him. Is that not gratifying to know that God knows you by name? In Isaiah, the Bible says that He knows you by name, He calls you by name. You are mine. You know, it is always said that the best word in the whole world is someone's name. You want people to call you by your name. Name means a lot. And people don't just choose names randomly, even though you could say that might be the case today. There's always something behind a name. A story that parents want to affirm or they want to retain. God calls you by name, and the Bible says you are His. You are God's. And for God to call us, again, it means that God is present with us. God with us, Emmanuel. That's the Christmas story we just celebrated a few weeks ago. And I guess some people have already started counting how many sleeps before the next Christmas. I was told of a member here, one of our young people, who actually knew how many days, how many sleeps before Christmas, right from the last Christmas. In Exodus, as read, God comes down to His people, the nation of Israel. God comes down to Israel because God has heard their cries. God saw their predicaments and was acting to save His people. God knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strength. He knows our cries. You know, sometimes we put up a smiling face in the open and we cry, but deep inside of us, we are deeply in pains. God sees the unspoken words of our hearts, the unspoken prayers of our lives, of our families, of our nation. God knows us more than we do. God heard the cries of the people of Israel. In the New Testament that was read, Jesus poses an interesting question as was read. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Which one of us? Any one of us here? Now, I'm sure that our response to this is, I can't do that. At least I have got 99 sheep here. Not bad. But that is not with God. God goes after the missing. And that's why God goes after our lives. He comes after us. He uses different means to reach out to us, to speak to our hearts, using different situations, family, friends, to reach out to us until He finds us. To family and friends of Tyler, today is a wonderful day, and we are highly delighted you are here with us. We need to retell this story to our children and to our children's children. We need to tell them of the love of Christ, the love that has found us, the love that is keeping us. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it." God created families to be the primary place where faith in Christ is nurtured. Our faith needs to be talked about and lived out in our homes. It is not always easy for us to have spiritual conversation with our children and teens, and I understand that. But if passing our faith to the next generation is important, and if it is going to happen, then we need to find creative ways to share our faith and beliefs with our children. Our anniversary banner, if you can look down there, if you are down there, as I'm pointing there, you can see that. It says, passing the spirit from one generation to another. That is our motto. That is our affirmation for our 175th anniversary. And today, earlier on in the service, we said this. We have made commitment to nurture one another in faith, uphold one another in prayer, encourage one another in service. I hope that this will be our word in the coming days. I hope that this will be our song in the coming days. As we nurture Tyler, as we nurture our children and our grand and our great-grandchildren, as we share with them the love of Christ, the love that God has freely given to us, the love that has found us, sinners like us, the love that has given us an identity and has made us one family in Christ today. Amen.